included me. And if you're born again, He included you. If God's dealing with you, He might possibly have included you. You notice I said possibly. Because only you can let me know what God's done for you. Unless you tell us, we don't know. I am going to be in the Bible. But it was brought up this morning by Lucian that if you miss what was happening Wednesday night, and maybe even Sunday night, I know it's being recorded and I know they're putting it online. And I know it's probably really good online. It's probably really good on the recording, but you sure missed a lot of action if you're not here in person. So if it's possible, come see what's happening. Come hear what's happening. I think we're making it alive. I think we're trying to make the Word of God where it's able to be understood and able to be enjoyed and able to be felt and done with, because it's a living Word. So if you can, come. But if not, please take the time to listen to them on the internet, because they're out there to be listened to. This morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 9. And Romans chapter 9 is definitely going to deal with a lot of things we talked about Wednesday night, and a lot of things we talked about in Hebrews this morning and the last couple of times we've been in Hebrews. So let's look at Romans chapter 9. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I would wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is all over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they that are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he had mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So So we see here, we start back over. It says here, and if you've been keeping up with what's been going on, it says, I say unto the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's confessing he's a saved person. He's been filled with the Spirit. He knows what God has to say, that he hath with heaviness continual sorrow of heart for his brethren. Now, he understands election. We just read that. He understands that God calls out some and God leaves some. But in his heart, he's understanding we're not hard shell here. We're not saying, well, if God's going to do it, he's going to do what he's going to do, and that's it. We're just going to sit back and watch. No, in his heart, he says, I have continual sorrow. I have continual heartbreak. I have continual crying out to God for those that I love, that they might be saved, that they might be one of the elect, that they might be one of those that will be called up, that God will show mercy upon them, that God will show mercy upon anyone in this building or any place around us that hears the gospel, that we would want God to save folks. I have been saved. I know the difference between being lost and saved, and therefore I would want anyone and everyone to receive Christ savingly through the gospel. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I would never want anybody to go to hell. I want to see everybody in heaven. My heart's desire is that God would show mercy on everyone hearing this message, or any gospel message that's being preached throughout the world here right now. My heart's desire is that lost people would be saved. If anybody's got that a different attitude than that, we're in the wrong place. We should want to see God saving folks. He's the only one that can. I don't save people. You guys don't save people. God saves people. He says, I have a continual sorrow in my heart. In other words, I didn't just worry about you one time. I just said, oh God, please save so-and-so. And then left it. Every time I come before the Lord in prayer, every time I bow my knee, every time I come to God, I have the hope that He can do what He says He can do, and that He might do it on those I'm praying about. I don't care what they've done. Well, I do care, but I mean, it's not what they've done that keeps them from being saved. I don't care where they're at in life. I don't care what they're doing. I want to see God show mercy and save them. There's nobody that I've ever heard of who's too lost to be saved, too wicked to be saved, too ungodly that God can't reach down and snatch them right out of the pit. So I don't want to look at this and say, oh man, I see all the terrible things they're doing. I know God can't save them. That's not my attitude at all. My attitude is, I know what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're at, and I pray and hope that God would save them. It says, for I could wish myself, he didn't say I do wish myself, I could wish myself were accursed. If I could, I know for a fact if I could, I might would say in my heart that I would take my son's places if it was possible. It's not possible. I can't save them by changing places with them. But he says, if I could, I would wish myself accursed from Christ, that my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, my sons, my children, my neighbors, my nephews, my uncles, all those that are lost, that if it were possible, I would be willing to die that they all might would come to Christ, if it were possible. But we know that we can't do that. We know it takes an act of God. It takes being born again from above. And people mess up. Well, if you'll just say a prayer, then God's got to born you. No, you have to be born again by the Spirit of God Himself. Who are Israelites, of whom pertaineth the adoption of the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? In other words, even out of the family of God, whom the Father chose out, made a nation out of, He gave them the law, He gave them the ordinances, He gave them the covenants, He gave them everything there was, and even they rejected Jesus Christ at His coming. He says, these had everything going for them, and still have not come to the place where Christ would be at. He says, who are Israelites, of whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law? God set up a people. We would not have any law in this country had it not been for the Jews. Had it not been for Israel, almost all of our laws in this country would not be in effect. We are a Judo-Christian nation, so to speak. Who are the fathers? In other words, these very chosen out people that he made a nation out of belong to God himself, the Father himself. Who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? In other words, he came to fulfill the promise. He came in the lineage of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and you name it right on down, up until Jesus Christ was born of Mary, a spouse to Joseph, not of Joseph, but a spouse to Joseph. It says, concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. First of all, to get saved, you must believe there is a God. A God who is over all, above all, who has a Son whose name is Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. Amen. Not as though the Word of God hath taken non-effect. In other words, there are those who can hear what we're preaching, and because they're strong-willed, disobedience to God, they can just reject it. And that's not what that says at all. People say, because the Word of God had not effect. Yeah, the Word of exact effect. On whom it calls, of whom it affects, he brings them out of darkness. It says here, not as though the Word of God hath not taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are all Israel. In other words, because we don't see everybody being moved, doesn't mean God's not doing what he says he's going to do. It doesn't mean that God's not saving whom he has chosen to save. Because we don't see the whole world piling up in here doesn't mean God's not working. God has always been saving his elect. He's always been saving his folks. He's always been saving his children. The ones he has chosen out before the foundation of the world. He will not miss a one of them. He will catch every one of them. But all of Israel is not Israel. And if you listen to some of them Santa Claus tunes, they say, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. In fact, in John it says, if you were of my child, you'd have heard what I had to say. But instead, because you won't hear me, you're a child of the devil. So there's two kinds of children. It says here, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. And that's what we've been studying in Genesis here lately about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we're getting into Jacob now. Neither because they are the children or the seed of Abraham are they the children. If you remember, Abraham had Sarah, the promise came through Sarah, Hagar, the world, and then we had Keturah. Most people don't even think about her. So he had children by three different women, but only in Isaac did the promise come. Only in Isaac did the promise go through. So we have a whole group of people who are born in Abraham, who claim to be Israelites, or claim to be of the bloodline or the heritage, but yet only in Isaac is the promise come. Only in Isaac is salvation. Only in Isaac does Jesus Christ come of the seed. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not in the rest, not in the whole pile of the kids, but in Isaac. And then we have a dilemma here. Isaac has two sons. Whew. So how's that working out? Well, let's check it out. And for this word of promise, at the time shall come, Sarah shall have a son. In other words, Sarah was old. Nearly, 90? Nearly, right now, 90 years old. Abraham was 100 years old. And God says, next year about this time, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child. And he said, really? Okay. He had already tried to give his servant the bloodline. He'd already tried to give Ishmael the bloodline. And God says, not through your servant, not through Ishmael, but through the son that's coming, the promised son, Isaac. And then he says, the word of promise, about this time, about a year from now, your oldness and her oldness, we're still going to have a child. And then after they had the child, he says, and not only this, but when Rebekah, that's the wife of Isaac, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born. We know there was a strife inside her womb, two groups of folks fighting against each other, two young'uns fighting against each other, one the promise, one the worldly, bunch. He says, when the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, in other words, before they'd even had a chance to get out and sin, before they'd even got out and had a chance to say, I'm the good son or the bad son, before anything ever took place as far as what they could do physically, says, for the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. In other words, you don't get to come to God because you act good. You don't get to come to God because you become religious. You don't get to come to God because all of a sudden you become special in the Lord. It says, not of works, but of him that calleth. We're never going to get before God and say, look at how great I am. It's going to be how humble I am and how great you are, Lord. And he says, it was said unto her, talking about Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. And that's what we've been studying the last week or so, last week in Genesis. It says the elder should serve the younger. And he says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I've heard many and many a sermon where they says, that's not what that means. God loves everybody. And benevolently, He does love everybody. He gives us sun, He gives us rain, He gives us food, He gives us clothes, He gives us life. But to His special people, He loves savingly. It says here, it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. If you change that and make it anything else than that, you might as well start ripping pages out of your Bible, because pretty soon, God just loves everybody. He's waiting on you, and He's helpless to save you. If you don't help Him save you, He can't save you. My God is not like that. My God saves whom He will. He has mercy on whom He will. He calls out of darkness whom He will. It says here, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbear. If we say that God was unrighteous in hating Esau, then we set ourselves up as judges over God. Judges over God. So we say, God, you got it wrong. God, He's a man just like us. You should have loved Him just like us. No. There's no unrighteousness in God. God does everything righteously. God can make one to do this and another to do that out of the very same lump. And we're fixing to get there. If you had one big lump of clay and it's called humanity, He can make this chunk Charlie and this chunk Keith and this chunk Lucian. He can make us each just like He wants to, just the way He wants to. It says here, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, if you remember way back in Exodus, said He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Does it sound like God's waiting on us to do something? No. I will have mercy on whom I choose. I will have compassion on whom I choose. Doesn't say, oh, if they would just come on. If they would just help me. If they would just change their mind. No, God saved me when I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. Saved by grace sinner. But He says, for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That means that God totally decides who He's going to save. He totally knows exactly when He's going to save them. He knows how to save them. He knows what verses to use to save them. He knows what sermon to use to save them. He knows what everything is necessary to draw someone out of darkness into light. And He never messes up. Never. It's always right. So then, it is not him that willeth. You remember John chapter 1? It's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Let's check John chapter 1 out real quick, because it hit me in the head. John chapter 1. I love the way people say this to me. In chapter verse 12 it says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And they leave it there. They stop right there. As many as did this. In other words, like you did something. But then it says, which were born not of the blood. In other words, not of you, not of your bloodline, not of your heritage, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, you just didn't decide to come do this. You just didn't make up your mind. Nor of the will of man. You can't will yourself into heaven. I'm just going to be good till God does something. No. But it says, but of God. It's the same thing it just said right here in our thing. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's all about God. It's all about God being sovereign. It's all about God being holy. It's all about God doing what God wants to do. And in Him doing so, He has never been unrighteous, because basically, every one of us was on our way to hell. Everyone. And we say, well, why has He saved some and not all? That's because He can. Because He wants to. But the thing is, He didn't have to save any. He could have just stepped back and that's it. Y'all want to go to hell? Y'all happy going to hell? You pleased to go to hell? I'll just let y'all go to hell. And that's the way every one of us was until He got in our way. Till He stepped forward and got in us and He showed us what we were doing, how we were doing it, and the way we were doing it. He said, you need to repent and believe. And we said, huh? Wow. God's showing mercy on me. He's just opened my eyes to where I'm headed. He's just opened my eyes to what my condition is. And in this opening of the eyes and the condition, He says, and here's the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then He says here in verse 17, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. And some people say, look how big a king he made Pharaoh. Yeah, he did. Pharaoh was king of kings right then. He was the big guy. He had the big nation. He had control over all kind of things. But it wasn't that he was showing how powerful Pharaoh is. He was showing how much power he had over that powerful Pharaoh. And not even coming with an army, not even coming with any kind of pile of men or armament or anything like that. He whipped Pharaoh with natural stuff. He whipped Pharaoh with plagues, blood and lice and mites and frogs and hail and brimstone and everything else you could throw at the man. He whooped that country down to nothing without even one man's help. No man intervened and says, we're going to fight for you, God. We got this covered. No, God says, I got this. I proved my power in Pharaoh by whipping his whole nation without one sword, without one spear, without one shield. I whipped them just because I could. He says, Pharaoh, even for the same purpose, I have raised thee up that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And when we get all the way over to Jericho, Rahab the harlot, she says, I have heard what your God has done back over there. The power of God was already broadcast all across the nations, all across the countries. When these people heard that the Israelites was coming, they weren't as scared of that little old ragtag bunch of Israelites. They were scared of God. They were scared of the one who could bring hell and fire and brimstone and destruction into their lives. He says, my name would be declared throughout all the earth. That's a charge for us, that we should be declaring all these things throughout all the earth. Sometimes we forget to talk about the creation and how God whips nations without swords and spears and stuff like that. Every time I hear John or Paul, these guys preach, they always bring up the creation, the creator, the one who could speak and things were. Not someone who had to figure out how to work it out. He already knew. He just spoke and it happened. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And on whom he will, he hardeneth. Oh, God wouldn't do that, would he? All he has to do is back his grace off. All he has to do is pull back grace. We'll harden ourselves right up. We'll get angry. We'll get mad. We'll get furious. We'll get upset with God. Well, God, you blah, blah, blah. All he has to do is restrain grace. And we'll harden up like a rock. says, you better be glad if God's working with you. He's still showing mercy to you. He says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. He's not under our control. Oh, God, you can't do that. That's not nice. That's not right. That ain't fair. No, he has mercy on whom he will, and on whom he will he hardeneth. And there are folks that have great difficulty with that. Undoubtedly, they don't believe their Bibles. That's all I can tell you. Thou wilt say then unto me, talking to me, not to God, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? In other words, if God is drawing the whole world out, then he's failing. Because he's not drawing the whole world out. He's not calling the whole world. He's not trying to save every single individual. It says, thou wilt say unto me, for who hath resisted his will? In other words, all are being called. If all are being drawn effectually, then there are some who are more powerful than God and they can get away. And I said, no, that's not the case. Who hath resisted his will? And I will tell you this, if he has called you out effectually, you have not resisted his will. If he's called you out savingly, you came into the call. If he called you out with his grace, with his mercy, with his power, you will come unto him. Because you will hear his voice and you'll know who he is. But it says here, why does he yet find fault? If you remember in Acts, it says that it's commanded that all men everywhere should repent and believe. From the very get-go, all men were supposed to believe that there was a God. Why does he yet find fault? Because all men have forgotten God. All men have rejected the message. All men, even us who are saved at the first, we wondered about the message. We fought the message. We tried to resist the message, and then God wooed us around and brung us out. We were all his enemies. We were all against him. We were all at enmity with him. To be at enmity means we were his worst enemy, worse than worse. If the Bible's true, then we all fought the message. We all wanted to keep our own way, do our own thing. Then it says here, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? In other words, we're all coming from the same clay. Believe it or not, every single one of us came out of the very same lump of clay. Each one of us was made out of the very same lump of clay. We went, some didn't get special clay and unspecial clay. Everyone came out of the very same clay. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. And somebody said, huh? That's what it says, right? That's what it means, right? He can choose to make this one this and that one that. He can even choose to save one that's like that and save him. He has power. But it says here that he can make unto vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. And then he says, and what if God willing to show his wrath on all those of dishonor, to make his power known, endure with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. They were made, they weren't made to sin. He didn't cause them to sin, but they were made to destruction. In other words, he never poured out his saving grace upon them. He let them live, he let them love, he let them have families, he let them grow, he let them have children. He showed all the goodness of the rain and the sun and all that to give them up. He says, he let them have all that was necessary. And he endured them to make known the power and to endure with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. They were made that way. They were going to be that way. He knew what they were going to be. Because you see, he knows who's going to be saved and who's not. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. In other words, he tolerates all those who will never believe in Jesus Christ, tolerates everyone who will never come savingly to God, all those who will never receive that mercy that he calls out to them, come unto me. He endures all of them. that he might show his riches on all those who have come, all those who have believed, all those who he has called out of darkness. He might show the riches of his glory. To know Christ is King, to know Christ is Savior, to know Christ is come. He endured all those who will never come. He endured all those who he has never saved by his effectual call, that he might put them in their place to show his power, that he also might show mercy unto us to also show his power, his grace, his love. And then it says, even us, if you're a believer, if you become a believer, if you are a believer or are going to be a believer, this verse is specifically to you. It says, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, thank God. If it was only the Jews, everything I just told you now was worthless. Because if there's no hope for us Gentiles, I might as well just shut the book and go into the house. But it says here, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Of the Gentiles. In other words, every family of God, every creed, tribe, of mankind, God is going to call folks out of those bunches. God's going to save folks out of those bunches. He's going to show his power in saving those bunches. Out of every tribe and tongue and group that there might be. Says he has the power to make each vessel just the way he wanted to. People say, well, I have free will. I can do anything I want to do. To a point you do. But if you really study it out, there's some places where you say, I'd like to be in Chicago in 15 minutes. There is no physical way I could want to. I could will to. I could be obliged to. But I could not be in Chicago. Get my R out of there. In 15 minutes. Unless something miraculous took place. So I have a free will to want to do things. But if you remember Romans 7, there's a lot of things I want to do that I don't. There's a lot of things I try to do that I can't. There's a lot of, when good is with me, I still do evil. Tell me about your free will. I do a lot of things that I think I don't want to do, and a lot of things I want to do, I just never get to getting them done. I want to do them. I'd like to do them. I just never get to them. Yeah, I got free will, all right. But I am under the providence of the one who made the plan. And sometimes his plan don't go my plan. And I get veered to this way or that way. It says here, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. If you're a believer in here, he called you out effectually. He worked in your heart effectually. He showed you your need for a Savior. He showed you where you was going. He showed you what was going to happen to you. And then he showed you the grace of God, how you could get out of the fire and into the love. He didn't leave you hopeless hanging out there till you decide something. He actually calls you completely out of darkness and places you, himself, into the family of God. Even us, who are called not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. If God has opened your eyes today, ever at any time during the week, if God has showed you your need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in that verse. If God has dealt with your heart as being a sinner, needing a Savior, and telling you who Jesus Christ is, you are in that verse. Whether you be a Jew or a Gentile. And if he's done that, then you're not a vessel of wrath, but you're a vessel of mercy, called out by grace. If God has done such to you, would you please let us know? Would you please show us by your profession of who you believe in, who has saved you, that we may give honor and glory to God for what he has done for you in Jesus' name. So when the invitation time comes, if God has done that, please let us know. Brother Keith.